You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in for Vicky Gonzalez today. 60 years ago, North Sacramento was its own city. At the time, it had a population of roughly 16,000 people with its own city council, police department, and fire stations. But then that changed in 1964 when the city of Sacramento voted to annex North Sac and then folded into the city limits, now known as District 2. Since the beginning, residents against annexation argued they would be overlooked by elected officials and that neighborhoods like Hagenwood, Del Paso Heights, Old North Sacramento, and other nearby communities would shoulder more than their share of the city's most pressing issues. We'll jump ahead to modern day. Roughly 68,000 people call the North Sac area home. Cap Radio has spent nearly a year meeting with residents, listening to their current concerns, frustrations, and also ideas about possible solutions. Those conversations are the foundation of a Cap Radio week-long series. Today, we're sharing the voices of organizations transforming underserved neighborhoods and working to overcome the collective feeling of neglect that some have. Sean Tao launched the Hope Center for Noralto area's large Hmong population, and he joins us today. Nice to have you here, Sean.
Good morning. Good morning, Randall. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And also, Daniel Savala is the executive director of the Del Paso Boulevard Partnership. Daniel, great to have you here, too.
It's fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So good morning to both of you. And let's just dive right in. You took part in Cap Radio's listening sessions, both of you, which culminated into a week-long series of stories highlighting the issues and hopefully solutions that might work facing your neighborhoods. Daniel, what motivated you to take part and share in that process?
Just every opportunity we get to talk about North Sacramento, particularly Del Paso Boulevard, it's important. It's crucial, especially when you have media's eyes on it. New residents of Sacramento who really know nothing about kind of the city demographic as a whole, I want them to be hearing about North Sacramento for all the good that's here.
Yeah. How long have you been there?
I've been in North Sacramento for a little more than 10 years as a resident. So I live in North Sacramento, but I also serve as the director for the business district.
Solidly home now.
Solidly home.
Yeah, 10 years anywhere in California, and you're a native, so.
Yeah.
Sean, how about you? Why did you end up taking part in the process?
Similar to Daniel, it's just to highlight North Sacramento and you know, bring about positive light in what community organizations and neighborhood leaders and what the efforts that are in the community to show that, hey, there are positive things that's happening, and we probably need to highlight these positive things.
Yeah. And Sean, what about your roots there?
I grew up in North Sacramento, Strawberry Manors, and then I MLK Junior High, Grant High School. After college, I, you know, came back and worked for city council. And then I started the Hope Center, which was a Hmong community center. And we just want to highlight the diversity and community and work with local agencies or CBOs or the county to just help the community out, especially focusing on North Sacramento because we are very under-resourced. And, you know, want to highlight that, hey, we do have a big community here.
Right. So neighborhoods throughout the city, anywhere really, have stereotypes, good and bad. Daniel, what are the biggest misconceptions that you would say are applied to North Sacramento?
The safety, that there's it's an unsafe place to be, and that you may not want to go there. The truth is, it's not. The things that happen here really aren't unique to North Sac or any other part of our city. I love Sacramento. I love Midtown, down Oak Park, Meadowview, and I feel just as safe walking down Del Paso Boulevard as I do anywhere in my city.
What are some of the good qualities that are overlooked? What are some of the things that when people come visit you, you're like, hey, you got to check this out?
Oh, Del Paso Boulevard, without a doubt. Del Paso Boulevard, as a planning nerd coming back to Sacramento, looking at the bones and the infrastructure and the sidewalks and the medians and the street level retail, it is one of Sacramento's last great pedestrian bicycle oriented corridors. It's super walkable. And you have to be there to really experience it.
Yeah. So tell us about the Del Paso Boulevard Partnership, since you're on that note.
Yeah, so we are a property and business improvement district. So property owners essentially formed an assessment district or zone where they pay additional levies each year. That helps create a fund that manages, for the most part, security and maintenance and some advocacy and marketing. So you're looking at, from my position, I'm a full-time advocate for Del Paso Boulevard. Day-to-day includes managing a pretty robust maintenance program, anything from graffiti, litter abatement, trash pickup, illegal dumping in alleyways, and also a security program or business ambassador program where small business owners have someone to call if there are some issues happening at their place of business. And we try to respond as soon as we can.
Daniel, what would you most like to see changed? If, you know, if you had a magic connection to the city that, you know, that could really switch some levers, what would that be?
Without a doubt, housing, people. Del Paso Boulevard is in desperate need of more people, more foot traffic. There's two neighborhoods right that sandwich Del Paso Boulevard, the old North Sacramento neighborhood and the Wood Lake neighborhood, you know, probably of 1,000 to 1,500 homes in that area. Not enough people to support the retail establishments there, the coffee shops, Little Joe's, Shift Coffee, Uptown Grounds, Uptown Takeout. We need more people. We need housing density. We need at least 500 units on Del Paso Boulevard in the next 5 years. Everything else we do, we're kind of holding place, you know, doing the best we can. Housing is what's going to turn around Del Paso Boulevard to make it better.
Sean, I want to pull you in to give you a chance to talk about North Sacramento's stereotypes, good and bad. What are the biggest misconceptions that you hear?
Well, North Sacramento, it's interesting because, you know, I grew up here, and, you know, whenever I tell people that I'm from North Sacramento, then they say it's Del Paso Heights, you know, or they don't understand that there's other neighborhoods, Strawberry Manor, Norato, Robla, Wood Lake. I think it might be because of the street name too. There's Del Paso Boulevard, Del Paso Road, Del Paso Heights, and then everybody says it's Del Paso Heights. But I think there's more than, you know, a good football program at Grant High School. You know, we do have that's the only thing that I hear around Sacramento when I tell them I'm from North Sacramento. They say, oh, Grant High School, you guys have a great sports program, football. You know, I mean, and then there's like, there's Arden Mall. Okay, a mall, we have the mall, and we have a good sports team. But there's more than that, you know. I think there's Del Paso Boulevard. There's, you know, Sammy's. There was Little Joe, now it's gone. There's been businesses on there for a long time, and we want to bring back you know, foot traffic to the boulevard, bring new development to North Sacramento, highlight the communities here. We're very diverse. There's a big Hmong and Lao population, a big Latino population, African American, and then now we have a big influx of Afghan refugees, and that's something that is contributing to the diversity and the growth of North Sacramento. So how do we build upon these new dynamics?
Yeah, a great cultural blend, and you couldn't see it at the time, but Daniel was getting a chuckle out of your football and mall comments, probably sharing in those thoughts as well. Sean, I want to ask what led you to launching the Hope Center in North Sacramento's Norralto neighborhood, one of the neighborhoods that you mentioned often gets overlooked and just lumped in with Del Paso.
Well, I launched Hope Center because after 7 years at City Council, I really just see a lack of engagement from my community, the Hmong community. And I believe, you know, understanding my community, the dynamics of my community in Sacramento, it's been a long time coming that we need to, you know, create our footing in the neighborhood. And so by creating the Hope Center, it's a social benefit cultural center, providing space, rental, a creative platform for culture, arts, education, programming, and we want to build partnerships with the Boulevard, the partnership, and the city, police, PD, like safety, so that our community could get more integrated into Sacramento as a whole. And we've been doing that. You know, I think we've been doing food delivery, COVID vaccine clinics, and just youth programming, and so I think it's highlighting North Sacramento, but, you know, we want to do more for not for the Hmong community, but for the whole North Sacramento community, because we're all under-resourced and a lot of our experiences are very similar. Like I mentioned earlier, there's influx of Afghan refugees in the Hmong community. We were refugees as well. And that was just 30 years ago. And it's so surreal that our experiences are so similar.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you purchased a church in 2018 that was vacant for 10 years.
Yeah, so we purchased a church in the Noracho area. And this area is special because we have a couple of Hmong businesses around here as well. And this area has a lot of low-income apartments. And these apartments were the apartments that when we came here as refugees, we were just moved into these low-income apartments and say, hey, here you guys are now, make do with it. And so some of the community has moved on, but a lot of community is still here. You know, we want to build upon that. Said, hey, maybe this should have been done 20, 30, but hey, we're out, and this is how we're going to change and uplift our community.
You mentioned the shared experiences that so many of the communities have there. I'm wondering, is there anything specific to the Hmong community, something unique that you believe needs to be brought to the table?
I think it's just that there's always this stigma that our community is very quiet, and so we don't have any issues to talk about in Sacramento or highlight. But I think, you know, one thing for the community and mostly Southeast Asian communities, you know, the resources, more resources, because growing up in low-income neighborhoods, I see that the struggles of, you know, Hmong community, Lao community, a lot of our issues are very similar to that of Blacks and Latinos. You know, when you disaggregate the data from the API data, you see that, you know, our poverty rates are high, our resources for our communities not there, our educational attainment's not there. So how do we bring to light these issues?
Mm-hmm. Daniel, a common theme among residents, regardless of neighborhood or political affiliation, income, was a feeling of neglect by the city of Sacramento. That's what Cap Radio found during these listening sessions. The development and investment is happening around them, but not in North Sacramento. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely agree with it.
What has to change so that it happens in North Sacramento?
You know, that's a tough question, you know, but part of it at its core is there has to be amongst us as residents and stakeholders, I think neighborhoods associations, for example, we have to also have a better understanding of what the challenges are. We can't get bogged down in the political climate that, you know, it's one person's fault or, you know, every elected official who's represented North Sacramento has tried, has worked their tail off to make it happen. It's just difficult. It's an older part of the city. There's infrastructure challenges. It's not just some flat vacant space that can be developed. Infill is hard everywhere. You have income demographics that keep certain retailers that you want out of the area. Del Paso Boulevard, for all the vacant shops that are there, there aren't any that I know of, perhaps one that's turnkey that doesn't need a significant amount of tenant improvements. So when you're from an economic development standpoint for Del Paso Boulevard or other parts of the district, you have some severe challenges when it comes to the capital improvement projects. For example, I know of not one that's even programmed right now for the Del Paso El Camino corridor, and that's critical. But progressively, leadership, folks in the neighborhood have to do a better job of understanding that that's the way forward. And begin asking and advocating for those things. It was Councilwoman Sheedy who provided us these amazing sidewalks and pedestrian walkways. Credit to her. It's, you know, Councilmember Lalowe, what he's working on, just got $5 million for Marysville in the corridor. Councilmember Warren, several votes to help improve park access and park maintenance. So, and then Councilmember Rob Kerr, the Yard and Garden Connector, and all the investments that he's. So progressively, we're making these small investments. Mm-hmm. We've got to do a better job, though, of, they're not sexy. You know, they're not arenas. They're not major pools, but they're moving us forward. We need one major win, though. We need, you know, something big to happen to come out of the ground.
Something like an Aggie Square is to Oak Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need something major like that. And I think it's on its way. I think it's coming. So us as advocates, one of the things that we took away most from this experience is obviously strengthening our relationships, continuing to meet outside of the CAP Public Radio meeting format, and really dialing in on these things, what it is that we need around these corridors.
Oh, good.
We look forward to, we look forward to over the next couple of years. You have the city of Sacramento doing their NDAT study. You know, more money is poured into Sacramento than our city's history, not just with Measure U and CARES and ARPA funding. So now is the time for us to really pull ourselves out of the slump and have something that we can move forward with.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm Randall White, in today for Vicky Gonzalez, and we're talking with Sean Tao with the Hope Center, and you just heard Daniel Zavala with the Del Paso Boulevard Partnership about the issues facing the North Sacramento community and hopefully solutions their organizations are working towards. This is all part of a week-long series here on CAP Radio and a year or so of going into the community and listening and holding these sessions. And this is a bit of what's coming out of that. Sean, you believe that improving neighborhoods starts by changing perspectives. What does that look like for you? How does the perspective change toward North Sacramento?
For me, I grew up in this neighborhood, you know, and then when I worked for council, when I grew up in this neighborhood, I felt really challenged, really under-resourced, and not being able to understand why it didn't receive the resources that we needed. And then until I ended up at council, and I realized, yeah, it's a fight. There are resources out there, but how do we bring hope and how do we change this perspective of our community being so under-resourced? And it comes with education, it comes with advocating, it comes with voting. Piggybacking what Daniel said, you know, we do see that there are developments going on around Sacramento, but we don't have that big investment in North Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand now that, okay, there is hope because hopefully Natomas is built out by now. There's more funding that's coming for development in Sacramento that we more than we've ever seen before. And so hopefully we get that one big break that would be a hub that would highlight North Sacramento and bring in more foot traffic, more residents. A lot of folks understand that we have a lot of underdeveloped vacant lots in North Sacramento, and these are infill developments.
Yeah. Sean, you grew up there, and Daniel had mentioned that it is an older part of the city. Is that also part of its charm, though? Does it have that older feel that really make a lot of Sacramento's neighborhoods unique, and that's what people like about them?
Yes, oh, yeah. North Sacramento is very unique. If you go to the Robla area, that's the only part in the city of Sacramento where they still allow you to raise animals. Like, you probably don't need a permit for a chicken or a cow. And it's in the city limits. It's like, wow. And then, you know, and you have places like Haganwood, who, you know, the residents there would like that feel of, you know, not having sidewalks, and the neighborhoods was very, you know, like 60 years ago, and keeping that image with huge oak trees and that. And then you have Wood Lake neighborhood, which is very, very nice and unique. And it's a planned community in Wood Lake, you know.
Yeah.
And then we so different spaces in North Sacramento has different areas in North Sacramento neighborhood has different aesthetics to it. And so that's very, very unique.
Yeah. Sean, we only have about a minute left, and I don't want to go before I ask you about your new podcast, Mungish. The first episode debuted last month. In just a few sentences, tell us about it.
Yeah, Mungish is what some of my colleagues or friends of mine in Sacramento have decided to launch. And we wanted to share the Hmong American experience from Sacramento and highlight the perspective of two Hmong millennials. So Pachia, Musuzang, and I, but she actually grew up in the South Sacramento, so I grew up in North Sacramento. So we get the best of two Sacramentos sharing our perspectives of Hmong millennials growing up and navigating Sacramento and our perspective on just
nice.
What it is to be Hmong American or an American from our perspective. And we hope our experiences are shared with other communities as well.
Fantastic. Well, it's no surprise that I love audio storytelling, so I'm going to have to check that out. Sean Tao is the director of the Hope Center for the Noralto area's large Hmong population, has a new podcast, Hmongish. And Daniel Zavala is the executive director of the Del Paso Boulevard Partnership. Thank you both so much for taking part in this year-long effort, and best wishes on all of the successes moving forward.
Yes. Thank you so much to Cap Public Radio. It's been a tremendous experience.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Randall.
You bet. Okay, coming up, wolves are making a return to California. Up next on Insight, a revival of sorts is taking place more than a century after the animals became extinct in the state. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White, and we're back in just a moment.